It is time now for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger. Marshall's the publisher and the editor of the Timberjay. It's a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Marshall, good to talk to you again.
Happy to be here, Heidi.
The week has flown by. There's been lots of news, lots of things going on. Let's start off with a story that your paper ran about the St. Louis County Rescue Squad. They've been pretty busy this summer, huh?
It's probably the busiest summer they've ever had. And, of course, that's usually their busy season. And they've been particularly busy in the Boundary Waters. And they do a lot of wilderness rescue. It tends to be about roughly 40% of their calls are for wilderness rescue. And it's been really busy in the Boundary Waters because there's been so much traffic. I mean, it's probably related to the whole COVID-19 thing. People are figuring a good way to socially distance is to go into the Boundary Waters. And in some cases, that may not actually be the case. According to one of the rescue squad volunteers that I spoke with, he said that the portages have been packed with people. He said, he's never seen so many people in the Boundary Waters this summer. And, that's good and bad, but it's certainly good that people are getting out there and enjoying the wilderness. On the other hand, a lot of those people apparently are not very experienced and in some cases not experienced at all. And they're making kind of questionable decisions and in many cases now are needing rescue. And that's one of the reasons that the rescue squad has been so busy. And there's also been just incidents that have come up here just recently, too, that you kind of wonder whether this was something that the rescue squad should have been called out on or not. We had a case over the weekend. We had a group of 9 people from the metro area, and they had gone on they were on Four Town Lake, which is just kind of north of Ely, up the Echo Trail a little ways. And they had gone, they had a base camp set up there on Four Town and decided to do a day trip. They were going to go through a series of about 3 or 4 lakes, do a little loop, and then come down a river back into Four Town Lake. Well, they had gone through the lakes and got on this river and realized that, given the lateness of the season, that they found that the river was pretty weedy and the water was pretty low and there were a lot of beaver dams, and they got about a third of the way down that river and they decided, nope, we don't want to do this anymore. So they got out of their boats, abandoned their canoes, and walked about 2 miles down the rest of this river, which must have been pretty difficult, and got to Four Town Lake. And they then flagged down some canoeists who, out of the goodness of their hearts, I guess, ferried them back to their campsite, which was a ways away from that portage. So now they're, basically stuck. And rather than try to, go back and get their canoes the next day, they just called for rescue. And the rescue squad did come out there and did get those people and get them out of the wilderness. I don't think they were real happy about it. Under the circumstances, I mean, nobody was, injured or anything like that. There was nobody who had any medical issues. That's typically why, they're doing rescue, is if somebody is injured or something, not just because people are tired or made, kind of dumb decisions and ended up in some trouble. So anyway, those are, kind of the, gives you a flavor, I guess, for some of the incidents that they've been running into this year, and it certainly kept them very busy.
Earlier this week we talked to the U.S. Forest Service about how many more people are using trails and campsites, but they're not treating them well. They're doing things like cutting down trees so they have a better view, and then trying to burn the
right
green wood and
and then leaving a lot of food behind at campsites. And they've been having problems with bears as well. So, there's a long list of issues that have, cropped up more than usual this year.
Right. I mean, it's great people are getting outside. It's a different time we're living in, but you still got to do it wisely and treat the land well.
And remember that you are in a wilderness, too. You know, I mean, one of the things you shouldn't be doing in the boundary waters is abandoning your canoe.
Yeah.
That's kind of the last thing you would do, because then you really are stuck.
Right.
You know, and then people shouldn't go into the wilderness thinking, well, if I get myself in trouble, I'll just call and get rescued.
Yeah.
That is not a fair thing to do to anybody.
No, not at all. Again, those county rescue squads, they are volunteers. So
they certainly are.
And they work
hard. They put in a lot of hours. Yep.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to another story you covered this week, made statewide news, the Effie Rodeo.
Yep. Well, it's turned out, you know, normally this has been an event that we have covered in over the years, you know, because it's really the only rodeo up in our neck of the woods, and it always makes for a great photo op. But this year it was a little bit different than what we had anticipated, and it all came about because the organizers of the event had been told that it was going to be a problem. They were going to have people socially distanced. People were going to have masks, things like that. And so they ended up canceling the event, ostensibly, but said that if people wanted to show up and protest, that was their right, and you know, they weren't going to stand in the way. And it turns out that people came in big numbers to show their opposition to the idea that the event could have been canceled, or at least it would have gone on anyway without spectators. I think they were still planning to actually run the competition, but they just weren't going to have spectators. But anyway, they ended up with lots of spectators, it turns out, and people were there. And in many cases, a lot of people were there to watch the rodeo, but certainly many came with signs and flags and things like that. And they were certainly making the point that they were not happy with some of the new rules that have come down regarding masks and other, you know, steps to try to prevent the spread of COVID-19. So a little bit of politics ended up getting mixed in with the North Star Stampede this year.
Yeah, and at least some of the photos that I saw that came out of there, not that many masks.
No, certainly in the crowd. I guess on Thursday night when they had some of the slack events, like barrel racing and whatnot, they had a very limited number of spectators, and a fair number of them were actually wearing masks. But on Friday and Saturday, I guess, when they had bigger crowds, and there were that's when most of the protests were. Thursday there really weren't protests, but Friday, Saturday there was more of the protests, and very little mask wearing.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Maybe there'll be who knows? Maybe that'll cause another spike up here.
Right. And a lot of people came from other areas for that. I mean, obviously, Effie's not a big place.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. But, you know, it's, a lot of them come from northern Minnesota.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to another story. Help us understand about a Supreme Court decision that has to do with MNTAC.
Right. This one's a little tough to explain, I think, but the bottom line is that it looks now, based on an order that was issued by the Minnesota Supreme Court, that underground seepage that is coming from MNTAC's tailings basin and entering into surface waters, such as the Sandy River, which flows into the Pike River, which flows into Lake Vermilion, that may very well now be subject to regulation through a new permit. And that was in doubt after a Court of Appeals decision earlier this year, which had said that because the some of that seepage is actually going underground, even though it doesn't go very far underground, it seeps underneath the tailings dam, and because it was coming up from the ground, it wasn't subject to regulation under the Clean Water Act. There had been a case, though, that we had talked about a few months ago out in Hawaii. And that there was a Supreme Court ruling in that just recently, which had said that that groundwater or water that's coming from under the ground that may have pollutants in it, it could be subject to regulation. So just by injecting water underground doesn't necessarily mean that companies are going to be free of regulation. And so that was kind of a big case, and now it's going to have implications here in Minnesota for future regulation of mining. And Minntac right now, that facility is in the process of getting a new permit. The MPCA had issued a new permit for Minntac here, I believe it was last year, and that has since been thrown out. That was thrown out by the Court of Appeals on a number of different issues, and now it went to that case has been appealed to the Supreme Court, and now there'll be future proceedings on other issues. But as far as the question of whether the groundwater from the tailings basin can be regulated, it appears that according to the Minnesota Supreme Court, they have decided based on the U.S. Supreme Court decision that, in fact, those waters are subject to regulation, and that's certainly likely to have an impact on whatever new permit is put in place for Minntac. And when that happens, it's unclear. You know, we may not get a ruling from the Minnesota Supreme Court until sometime next year, and then, of course, the MPCA would have to go through a new process to develop a new permit. And I think the original permit there for Minntac dates back to the 1990s, early 1990s. So it's over 25 years old.
Mm. All right.
And it's been expired for that long. Yeah, it actually was first issued in 1987, and it expired in 1992, and they've been operating on that expired permit.
Wow. Okay. Well, before we go, another cancellation due to this pandemic we're in.
That's right, and we were kind of expecting this one. I think actually we might have alluded to this last week when we talked about the Ely Marathon being canceled. And that's Ely's Harvest Moon Festival, and that was a festival that was always held in Ely. It's typically held the weekend after Labor Day, and it's always been kind of a more popular festival with locals. It doesn't get quite the turnout, or it's not quite the mob scene, I would say, as the Blueberry Festival. And so it's usually more of a local crowd, and it's usually a little cooler, and so it's always been pretty popular. But it won't happen this year, yeah, for the same reasons as everything else has been canceled in this weird summer. So.
Yeah.
No surprise, but still disappointing.
Right. That's Marshall Helmberger. This has been the Border News Roundup. You can read, see more, and subscribe to the Timberjay at their website. It's timberjay.com. How are the blueberries?
You know, they're very spotty, but we've been able to find some spots where we've been able to pick, so we're stocking up.
Okay, you're going to send me a map?
For sure.
Yeah. Thanks, Marshall. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
All right, take care.
Flood in the media shout. Golden